Let us now go into a time of scripture reading. I shall read out loud for you. Please listen attentively. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Let us invite Pastor YC to preach to us the word of God.
Good afternoon, church. Good to see all of you back again. Glad that today I'll preach from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is a very, we used to call the 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus, we call the pastoral letter. The reason, because both of them are pastors, okay? But today, this message is not just for pastors or for those who teach or who preach the word. I think it's for everyone who love the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, as what Paul said. Paul, at the end of his life, we know that his days are drawing near. He was in a jail in the Rome, and you want to write something. No, when you know that your days are numbered and you know that there's no chance for you getting out, and the one thing that you want to do, you want to write a letter. Who would you write it to? Who is your audience? In this case, he wrote a letter to his personal or his spiritual son, Timothy. Timothy is one that Paul has groomed over the years and even brought him for mission trips. And Paul, being an old man, is writing something very important. I say that when somebody is going to die, he probably will say something very important. And this is the very last chapter of his very last epistle, his very last letter. So I believe there's something that's very important for all of us to take note of. So I named today's sermon, Preach the Word, the Charge. And with that, we can be really against the tide of the world. We find strength, we find grace, we find the power of God, and we are enable us to withstand the tide of the day. So let's begin and commit this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you as we declare your word. We pray that your spirit, Lord, will quicken the word, that Lord, our spirit may receive the nutrient, will receive the life-giving grace that comes from your word, that our life will truly be built up, be edified as we give attention to your word and give our heart to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing, that some background, as I said earlier on, that Paul is executed soon. Timothy, a young pastor in Ephesus, a very young church leader, inexperienced, you may say. And the whole purpose of the letter is to give a very important command for Timothy to follow, to encourage him, to remind him of certain things, and to advise him to a certain extent. So it's not just for Timothy, but I think for today, for all of us, it's a truthful word for all to take note and also to learn. So the charge, what is the charge? So Timothy, in verse 1, he said that in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Paul can just, erase off all the pretext and then just say that, Timothy, do this. I think Timothy will do it, right? Being a good son, spiritual son, good disciple of Jesus Christ, and being groomed by Paul, he feel very indebted to Paul. If Paul say, do this, your pastor say, hey, do this, and you will do this, the floor is very, very dirty, can you kind of sweep a bit? I don't think, your pastor come to you or somebody come to you, I don't think you say, well, why me, right? You probably will do it as well. But here he realized that Paul is not using his own personal weight to put on Timothy. You owe me, so you owe me a favor, right? You owe me something, right? So do it, please. He's not. So this is very important in our service. That's why he called, he said, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will. It's like, you know, in the presence, in the witness of two and three shall every word be established. You realize that Paul, in this, in that the term or the word that he used is more like a courtroom kind of language. Okay? Say that God the Father and the Son Jesus Christ, and now I stand here and I charge you. You see that? So it is not just me, Paul, giving you instruction as to what to do, but it is a calling, a commission, the giving by the triune God. And that is the beginning. So when you receive a call, okay, I'll move on to this. A call or commission from God. So Paul is impressed upon Timothy. What you are going to do, and now you are pastor in Ephesus, is this not just because, you know, nobody else is doing it, or you're the most suitable candidate, and then you're in. Yeah, you're doing a good job. But you must remember, it is not just I call you into ministry. It is God who call you into ministry. Today is not a pastor who call you to be the deacon, pastor who call you to be the cell leader, pastor call you to be the Sunday school teacher. It is God who call you to be a teacher. So we have to get this mindset changed first. Otherwise, we'll just give face to people who call us to serve. Just like a few days ago, hey, 谁要来帮忙我们这个圣诞节的布置? 谁负责啊今年一起啊 okay 啦一起 give some face 啊 come 啦 hey come 啦 come 啦 each angry no each angry no fun everybody come like that. Yeah we may do that to a certain extent but when it comes to a very serious matter you know that the call today you are who you are by the grace of God so that includes your calling it's not just that you're saved by grace but that includes your very being your existence and your purpose in life where you are, where you want to go, what you want to do, everything in it. So Paul is impressed on Timothy, it's not my calling, it's not me, have an undone job that you have to accomplish it for me. I have a dream that I have not fulfilled. Half done. Can you complete it? No. So he's giving this charge to Timothy, say, Timothy, it is a call and commission. Well, yeah, I call you into ministry, but you know it is not really me that who's doing that. It is Christ. It is God the Father. So in the presence of Christ and God the Father, I charge you, Timothy, preach the word. That is how it starts. Wonderful, isn't it? So the next time you go and invite somebody into a ministry, be a media reporter or whoever, a call or commission from God. And he spell out very clearly, say that Jesus Christ, the judge. So he's the judge of the living and the dead. The moment you hear the term living and the dead, no, you're Christian enough, long enough, you will know what this means. It is the day of the Lord, the day of the judgment, the day of reckoning, the day of his second coming, the day of his return, the day of the judgment where Christ is on the judgment seat. So in other words, whatever that God has commissioned you, you're accountable and you're supposed to give an explanation. You need to 交账,就是这样。 Right? You have to. So the call, if only Paul issued the call, then you need to answer to Paul only. But it's God that will call you, then whatever that you do, at the end of it, you need to be accountable to God because God is a judge. God is a judge. So you have to be very serious about what you're being assigned and what you have received the call from God. And you have to be accountable and answer to God on the day. And because it's of eternal concern, right? Judge of the living and the dead, that is the day of the reckoning. There's a day to come. There's a day of his glory. So it's of eternal. It's not just that you finish your 20 years of service, you finish your how many, whatever term that you have in a church or in some ministry. No. So it is a very heavy, a weighty charge. So have you received any weighty charge from the Lord? You say, oh, I don't have any. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is a very weighty charge. Forgive those who have forgive those who have offended you because I have forgiven you. That is a weighty charge. So here, talking about preach the word, okay? Paul didn't talk about that, but Paul specifically talked about preaching the word today. So we just focus on this. So the charge is very simple. Just one liner, preach the word. Preach the word is not a privilege just for the pastor who can stand on the pulpit and preach. Preach the word is like sharing the truth. Wherever you are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is meaning by preaching the word. It's not just about, you know, doing exegesis and then try to come up with a good sermon and then impress everyone. That is preaching, yes. But here, it doesn't mean that this word, preach the word, It means the word, the real word is herald. You herald something. You know what's herald? Like when the king have an edict, he want to send to all the different towns and cities. He sent a person on a horse. And then hear ye, here says the king. Whoever they can heal the king will have the hand of his daughter or whatever, the princess. Right? So hear ye. So these are the people who are being sent out. So Paul is saying to Timothy, you are the herald. You are the herald. Just like John the Baptist, the herald before Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then Jesus Christ come. He is a voice shouting at the wilderness, prepare ye the way, prepare ye the way. But he is not the way. He is not the light. John said that. So this is exactly what he says. Preach the word sin. You make known, you announce to the world that the word become flesh is coming. That's what John says. So today, especially when Christmas comes, you know that the word has become flesh. So preach the word. Announce the word. Announce Jesus Christ's arrival. Announce his presence in this world. So in season and out of season, you know that in season and out of season, you must be prepared, whether it is in season or out of season. This season can be your season or someone else's season. In season, in other words, okay, in Chinese, okay, easy, okay, you look at different translation, it gives you different nuance, then it helps you to understand better. Know whether it's a good time or bad time, whether it's convenient or not convenient. This is what it says. So sometimes we want to preach a word, but it's not convenient to me because I'm not well, because I'm very busy now, I cannot involve in this ministry, I cannot say this. No, I'm busy. No, it's not a good time for me to do that. Yeah, I'd like to join this ministry, but I'm not free. That's called convenient. The other one is that I want to speak to somebody, but it's not a very convenient time for the person because they're going through something, because I don't think it's ready. If you say like that, that relationship, how? You know, then don't say. So that's not convenient time. It's not a good time to say. So this is talking about the different. But you look, if you read through the whole chapter, you realize that Paul is actually mentioning more about the latter, the second explanation. It's not about yourself. Paul is expecting Timothy, you are ready all the time. As Christian, you are ready all the time. Then he says that whether the other person ready, not ready, later we'll talk about that, then you still have to do it because you are ready. It may sound something, wow, very difficult. Eh? No, we all Chinese, Singaporean, very tactful, very diplomatic, you know, politically correct. Nah, we don't do such thing. But let's read on. When the Spirit of God moves you, you will know when to say, trust me. Every time the move of the Spirit is on you, and the Spirit speaks to you, and you obey and you submit, wonderful thing happen. I was sharing one thing that with this, okay, is that this particular story, and this man was traveling on MRT on train, you know, overseas, and then he saw a woman and a child, and then they looked pretty sad or whatever. Then this man just have this spirit prompting, say, go and speak to this woman, tell him that Jesus loves him, you know, must repent from his sin and receive Jesus Christ. Ah, so many people in the train, why must I do that? Why lun diao, no, tahan. What this thing is so strong. Then, okay, you know, he kind of garnered enough courage, and then he stood up and he speak to the woman. Woman, repent and be no Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is only hope. He said all these things. Wow, no, happened to the woman. Woman turned around and scolded him badly. Wow, no, scolded badly. Then he feels so paiseh, you know, like 没有面子. Then he stood down. Then he sat down. After he sat down, this prompting come again. Go and tell her again. Say it again. Come on, say it again. If it was so difficult to say, I say one time already, God, I'm very good already. I'm very faithful already. I say it one time. Not gonna slap. You know what I mean? Go and gonna slap again. But this thing keep on building up in him, and he just submitted, said, okay, I do it second time, Lord, just for you. So he stood up, he said the same thing. And then the woman scolded him even more. And in the midst of the scolding, the little girl spoke out. She said, Mom, what he said is true. Just one liner. And then this mom just broke down and cried. Cry. So this man, what happened? Why was suddenly he like that? Then after everything, then he spoke, after the cool down, he talked to the woman. What happened? He says, Mister, do you know that my daughter is born mute? Cannot speak. Cannot hear. And yet he can open his mouth and say, what you say is right. It must be a miracle of God. And then he brought this woman to Christ. Sometime, convenient, inconvenient is our own judgment. But God knows best when is the time. Okay? Now, be prepared. I say ready. You know, it carries this sense of urgency as well. And then there are a few things that we need to do. As you preach the word, you share the gospel, you share the truth. The first is that you must correct people. Correct is what? Is to persuade. In other words, somebody has done something wrong. There's something that's not right here, right? It's, I have a wrong idea, I have a wrong understanding of certain thing, you know, wrong value. You try to replace the wrong thing, the incorrect thing, with the right thing. That's what I mean by correct or reproof, okay? The second one, you have to rebuild or to warn, okay? Rebuild and to warn is to turn this person away from doing what is bad, telling this person what is right. And this is what to warn, forewarn, or to turn them from sin, okay? Just to rebuild. And the third one is to encourage. Encourage is to what? Encourage to build up to edify life. So you look at these three things. The first thing when you correct is something to do with intellectual. Like I said, we need to preach the word. We need to preach the counsel of God. We need to preach the Bible, you know, the biblical soundness of the preaching and the teaching. It's important, right? It's paramount. It's very important because we need to correct the wrong thing with the right thing. And the right thing, only the truth is correct. So the correction comforts. That is intellectual. You need to persuade somebody. Paul said, I'm totally persuaded that Christ is the Messiah. Are you totally persuaded that only Christ is God? There's none beside Him. And everything that you need, He can provide. Are you persuaded, fully persuaded? This is what it means. Persuaded, rebuild and encourage. So intellectual, the next one is about your conscience, right and wrong. Don't do this, sin, no sin. This is right thing and wrong thing. So don't do. Who say that you can marry the non-Christian and continue to live ever after just because this guy handsome love you? He love you now, yes. Can you love you continuously? Don't know. But if you do it in the love of God, then you know that He's God. God's love is eternal. You have that foundation. You have that faith. If everything goes wrong, you can come before God and then cry to God. But with that, what can you do? Right? So that is about conscience. The third thing is about your heart. You want to encourage somebody, especially when you feel weak, when you feel feeble, when you don't feel have enough energy, enough willpower to do certain things. You know, somebody can encourage you, can I, let's run another 5 km. Can, jayo. Okay, then you this encourage you, build up and give strength to your heart. And then in the process of this, you know, as a preacher, you know, as a one who share, you must do it with great patience. You know, I like the KJV, always use the word, every time you see patience, you see the word long-suffering. And long-suffering, the first thing of the 1 Corinthians 13, about the passage of love. Love is patience. Very nice. But you read it, you say, love suffers long. Not so nice. Not so romantic anymore. Love is patient. Very nice. Love suffers long. Nobody like to love anymore. It's true. When you love somebody, you need to suffer long. You don't know. So when you try to encourage people, you try to rebuild people, you try to correct people, you don't know when this person will turn back. How this person going to, you can say, hey, snap out of it. Every time, hey, what problem, snap out of it. Then very easy, you know, be a pastor. Everything snap out of it. But you just can't. These people have certain, they may have wounded spirit, they may have their past that they need to deal with or they're not willing to let go. So you don't know when. That's why Paul said, I only plant a bottle of water. God himself give the growth. So as a person who minister to others, you must have that patience. And that patience is to wait in hope. In Christ, knowing that what you do is not in vain. And then God's Spirit is also working with you to accomplish that. And then to teach, careful instruction, teaching and doctrine. Careful in what you learn and what you teach. Right? And first thing is that, first, know that it's true. Second, know that you also embrace the truth. You are the carrier and the proclaimer, the herald of the gospel. Preach the word. Alright? So why you need to do that? So second, in a same chapter, verse 3 and 4. Paul gives a reason why. Why? He said, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they suit their own desire. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. For the time will come. When Paul wrote this, it's about AD 60. Has the time come? It's welcome. Already here, a long time ago. During that time, it already happening. Okay, we'll see that later. Okay, so the time will come. What happened is that people will not put up with sound doctrine. The word sound here means healthy, hygiene. Means the doctrine. If you take in the doctrine, you believe in the word of God, the truth, your life will be healthy. It's something that's good for your health. But if you don't eat of this word, the truth of God, and you simply go and eat all other ideology or what you think the other values of the system is more appealing to you, it tickling your ear and make you feel good for your appetite, then it's not going to be healthy. So the word here is healthy. You must have a healthy dose of diet of the truth. Do you have it daily in your life? Then how can you ensure that you are living healthily as a Christian if you don't even have the word of God? For men shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We know all these words, but is it true in your life? Are you persuaded that you cannot live without the word of God? Persuaded. Correct. Remember? Okay, continue on. So, what their itching ears want to hear and to suit their own desire or appetites, gather around them a great number of teachers. In other words, when you are into that mode, you're not just happy to be there. No, when you smoke, you're not happy to smoke alone. You want to get people that smoke with you. There are people telling you that smoke is not that bad. You want people to tell you that actually smoke gives you inspiration. Actually, smoke makes you look more cool. You want to have that kind of idea to come to you. You want people to tell you that. You don't want people to tell you that you got lung cancer. You don't like this truth. You want this type. So you gather around you friends and teachers who will tell you the thing that you want to hear. Marlboro man. Oh, very cool. On the plane of Alpine. Very cool, smoking, right? But they will gather among them. You realize, you will gather, right? Your interest grew, whatever. So gather around them a great number of teachers to continue to convince. You see, this is how depraved we are. No, we are into something and we are persuaded that this is our life, our appetite. We give in to appetite and our appetite will generate more appetite and we're getting more and more indulgence. This is a vicious cycle. Continue on. To what point? And after that, you realize that to the point that they will turn their ears away from the truth. What does it mean? It means that you cover your ear and you run away. That's literally what it means. Cover your ear and run away. You want to talk to me, Jesus? Ah? Okay, I go away. This is what I mean. In other words, beginning, I find it very difficult. Don't quite like listen to what you say. Now, you want to say, I go away. You know the different stages? You don't have the healthy diet of the Word of God, and this is what happened. Turn their ways, their ears away from truth, and turn aside to myth. A myth are all those falsehood stuff, right? Things that in the eyes of people who know the truth, it is so obvious this is wrong. But they cannot see that it's wrong. But to you, it's so clearly this is a wrong. Sometimes you see things like this. It's so clearly this is a stupid decision. I cannot see. Don't you think the guy is playing with your feeling? Don't you think the guy, you think the guy is really real? So clear. No, he loves me. Cannot see. Turn aside. And the word that you turn aside is to dislocate. It's just like you wrench somebody's arm until your shoulder dislocated. This is how bad. This is the word, the medical term that God used, Paul used here. Even this person, to the point, he's get dislocated. He cannot even function properly. Not just close his ear and run away, but his life is dislocated. He's dislocated from the truth of God. You can see that it's all in stages. So that's why Paul says you need to correct, persuade them. You need to rebuild them. And then you need to encourage them. If they come back, yeah, I'm wrong. Encourage them. Yes. 靠着主的恩典,可以重新站立。 You encourage them. That's why you go through the three stages, okay? So, these are the last days. So, what we read earlier on is the chapter 4, 1 to 5. Now we read chapter 3, 1 to 5, okay? Just so nicely put together. And Paul said to Timothy, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. In other words, time will come, all right? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, consider lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So when you do all these things, sometimes I look at it, do you have some, you know, do you see yourself in some of these things? You read the Chinese one, it's even more revealing. You know, your time you read the Chinese version. But for example, unforgiving. The Chinese translation, 不肯和解, means don't want to friend again. Don't want to reconcile. You say sorry, I must forgive you. Why? Don't want. That's what you mean. Very hard. So when people are in that mode, but because they have a lot of teachers telling them, they live in their own castle of fallacy. They say having a form of godliness but denying its power. You see these people, wow, they live as if they have their life all put together. But you know that these are all fallacy. So having the form but no power. So is your life today having a form of godliness without the power? Is your life now in every aspect of your life, whether your study, your working, your relationship, your family, your the way you manage money, the way you aspire to who you want to become, what you want to do with your time, all these things, what is that? Do you have that godliness in you and the power to do that? You say that, say Paul, say that if these people are already into this extent, he said, what should you do? Have nothing to do with such people. Paul even rejected them. He said, you like that. Right? Okay, we continue on. And then because of this, and Paul speak to them, you keep your head in all situations and your hardship, do the work of the evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So, after you know the charge, why you need to do that, and then Paul say, but you. The world is going to spin on its own, in its own indulgence, self-destructive cycle again and again. But you, who are living in the world, are not of the world. So you should not follow them. And this is what you should do. He says that first, you have to fulfill your ministry. He says that keep your head in situation. In other words, keep your head. Don't lose your head. My dear brother, sister, don't lose your head. Never be sober-minded and watchful. Be sober-minded with watchful because your enemy, the devil, is like a what? Roaring lion, they're moving around and they can swallow whoever they can swallow. So keep watch, be sober, keep your head. When you see all these things around, all these things people telling you, living their life in their own way and don't want to listen to the truth, you know the end day is coming. So keep watch for the coming of the Lord and be sober in all things and then endure hardship, which include opposition, persecution. Today, if you're against certain kind of activist ideology, you are considered a bigotry. You are considered intolerance people. Actually, they cannot tolerate you. No, you cannot tolerate them, right? They say you cannot tolerate, but they cannot tolerate you. You have two different beliefs, A and B. When B say A is wrong, A say you are not tolerable. B is not, you don't have tolerance. But if they have A have tolerance, they will tolerate B. So it's a... sense that kind of logical kind of conclusion. You realize that so to endure hardship, there will be opposition, there will even be persecution. Especially you know that some of the agenda of some of the very active group, in trying to change the culture of the world, different values. Okay, opposition, persecution will come, but you will continue to do the work of the evangelist. In other words, in your words and in your deeds. Evangelist is not just someone who go and spread gospel alone or somebody had a title evangelist. Evangelist is a person. Again, I say, evangelion is good news. Anyone who carry the good news is an evangelist. The root word of evangelist is evangelical. In a Greek word, it means good news, gospel. So the person who carry the gospel is an evangelist. So you can be an evangelist in your school, you can be an evangelist at your home, in the marketplace, okay? So discharge all the duties of your ministry. Completion. Finish it. So whatever the God has called you to charge, please complete it, okay? This is because you need to be answered to God the day on His judgment. So be sober, knowing that you need to. So what are the life application we have, okay? Four things. First, we are accountable to God's charge of preaching the word, sharing the gospel. Second, always ready to do the work of the evangelist. You are the carrier of the gospel. Third, persevere to fulfill all the duties of our ministry in spite of environment and man's response. whether it's favorable, unfavorable, whether it's convenient, inconvenient, you continue to persevere in what God has charged you to do. And then, remember, in verse 8, Paul told Timothy, there will one day, when you see the Lord, say, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. See, this is what Paul tells Timothy and everyone who will believe Jesus Christ to do. This is our church mission month. Thanks, Ichi, for coming up with this. This is our mission ministry, and these are the things that we are doing, okay? We have the overseas mission trip, we have missionary support of our belief. You say, oh, we can do even more than this. Yeah, we can do more than this. But what is the thing that God charged you to do? So you don't do activity program for activity and program sake. You do it because you are being charged to do what I think, right? So you know what the thing that God has charged you, then you have to do it and bring it into completion. Finish your ministry. Fulfill what you are called to do. Persevere. In spite of the environment, people's response in favorable position or environment, doesn't matter. God say, come, you good and faithful servant on the day. Do that good work of the evangelist. So in Philippians 2, 6, 11, we are going to read this in preparation for the communion. When we see all this, we realize that Christ is a supreme example. In Philippians 2, 6 says that who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He's being sent by the Father into the world. Did he complain? He did not complain. Father, if this cup can be removed, remove. If cannot, let me drink of it. Complain? No complain. Submission. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. That's what I just said. So therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. There remain for me, in store for me, the crown of righteousness. There remain for Christ, the supreme glory. You know, exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God and the Father. So I pray that, you know, as you take the charge seriously, and God don't just issue charge, you know, just, you know, very wistfully, but God has a purpose. So your charge, if you receive the charge of God, you know that it is not in vain. It's not by mistake that where you are where you are today. Can you embrace that God is with me? He is in me. He is with me. And we'll work together. And with that strength, you can go against the tide by fulfilling the charge that God has.